wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see.
This is the Grace and Truth program. And now we continue these messages of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman, and the song evangelist, Stan Carey. When God is silent, what next? Thousands of years ago, God foretold in his word the history of men on earth. Much of that has already been fulfilled, and much more is still future. Where these two meet, the fulfilled and the unfulfilled, right there is where we are on God's chart. In the Holy Bible, we have prophecy in almost every book. And the last messages of our Lord were chiefly prophetical of his coming again. But nowhere in the Bible is God's prophetic chart so clearly drawn as in the Bible's last book, the Revelation. We will then look at God's big map, the Revelation, to find ourselves today at this very moment. Verse 1 of Revelation 8 says, "And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour." We are living in that solemn half hour of silence right now. Heaven is silent, while godless rulers think they run the world, and iniquity abounds, while it looks like God is just watching as he gives man a loose rope, and man is certainly showing himself today. God is being cursed and his laws defied and heaven is silent. What does it all mean? And as this silence continues, man is waxing bolder and bolder against God, for he supposes in his folly that he can do or say anything he pleases and God will do nothing about it. On God's chart, the time of this silence in heaven was when he had opened the seventh seal. Let me give you a little brief of the book of Revelation. It is like the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew covers the entire life of our Lord on earth, and then as you start in Mark, you think you'll continue from where Matthew ended, but not so. You go back over that same life again, and so when you start Luke and John also, four Gospels, and each takes you over the same time, the life of our Lord on earth. And so it is with the Revelation. It has three cycles of time, and each one covers the same tribulation age. The seven seal judgments cover the entire period and end with men calling on the mountains to fall on them as the great day of the wrath of the Lamb has come. This is the end of the tribulation. Then, as the seventh seal is opened, there are seven trumpets. And again, we cover the same period, the same tribulation. And these end with the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. This is certainly the end of the tribulation and the announcement of the following age of our Lord's millennium kingdom. Then, in like manner, comes the third cycle, the seven vial judgments. Thus, the opening of the seventh seal ends our first trip over the tribulation and starts us back over it again. It puts us right where we are today. The present dispensation of the grace of God is at its end, and the tribulation hour is just awaiting God's signal to begin. It is just at that point there is this divine mystery. There was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. Nor is this the first time that heaven's silence preceded a new dispensation. The Old Testament ended with 400 years of silence, in which there came so many evils. And then the silence is broken, and the new dispensation is ushered in as heaven opens and cries, "Unto you is born this day a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." And a mighty prophet cries, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Now we shall note what is taking place in this mysterious half hour of silence in which we live. First, the angels of judgment are preparing their trumpets. Today, the nations of earth are preparing for war, worse than ever imagined before. And the devil is using this militarism to marshal the world for his big battle against Christ. But behind the scenes of earth, way beyond the blue, God is preparing his angels to pour out those awful tribulation judgments, such as were not nor ever shall be. Don't misinterpret God's silence. It's like this. I was once out in a fearful electric storm and some young men with me. We found shelter in an old building. The storm abated and a hush of silence came. The boys thought it was all over and they wanted to proceed, but I warned them, and just then came a flash of fire that seemed all around us. So the silence of heaven today is a warning signal of the sudden flash of divine wrath that shall come upon all the world. The second happening of this half hour of silence is this. An angel stood by an altar with a golden censer, and in it was incense and the prayers of all saints, and this was being offered up to God. What does all this mean? The altar is Calvary. The gold is divine glory. The incense is pleasing to God as he sees in his people his own love for lost sinners, as is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, so that we earnestly pray to God for our loved ones, neighbors, and all others out of Christ. Those prayers are being offered up to God day and night, and God holds back his angels of judgment as he hears the prayers of his saints. One troubled sinner used to wake up his wife in the night and say, "Sally, are you praying for me?" He didn't want her to stop. Sinner man, don't try to stop your Christian wife from going to prayer meeting. You had better beg her to keep going. As long as Abraham prayed for Sodom, the judgment was suspended. But when Abraham stopped, it came. And so it is today. Why hasn't Jesus come and taken his people home and judged this wicked world? A Holy Spirit burden of prayer is moving godly saints around the world to pray for precious souls for whom Christ died. They used to pray, "Come, Lord Jesus, and take us home." But now they pray, "Lord, I'm willing to wait and serve if only thy lingering mercy will be to the salvation of a few more of those precious souls." This is why Jesus has not yet come. But I warn you, the Holy Spirit will lift that burden of prayer, and one day the last prayer will be offered up, and then what? The same angel with the same censer, now empty of its prayers, he takes it and fills it with the fire of the altar and casts it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. As the silence breaks and God's judgments fall in such awful fury, even the angels cry, "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth." The altar is Calvary. The cross has both its mercy and its vengeance, its blood of forgiveness and its fire of retribution. And you, neighbor, must know one or the other. Jesus Christ, the Redeemer of Calvary, will either be your Savior or your Judge. If you know him as your Savior, it'll be amazing grace for you. But if you receive of his vengeance, it'll be the fire of the altar. The wrath of God that Christ suffered for my sins, you will suffer that same wrath for your sins. Now don't talk big and say, "I can take it." No, no, remember Christ the Lord of glory cried, "While I suffer thy terrors, I am distracted." He writhed in pain and agony as he was stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. And sinner, that same wrath, that same anguish will be your torment as it breaks with a flash of divine judgment in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Now let us consider God's clock by which the ages run. The central hour was Calvary. Our Lord prayed, "Father, the hour is come." God trembled as he faced the awful ordeal of Calvary when he must smite his beloved Son in judgment. God stopped his clock. There was a pause, a silence. Jesus cried, "O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." God collected himself, started back his clock, drew out his sword, and smote his Son. The atoning blood was shed. Abraham, seeing his dear son Isaac on the altar, lifted the knife to slay him, but must first pause. So is this solemn time of silence. Sinner, don't mock and say, "Where is the promise of his coming?" It is true that all the prophecies before his coming have already happened, but still he has not come. Saints are praying. Many sinners are near the kingdom. Christ is risen up. His pierced hand is about to shut the door of salvation. What can God do? Again, God stops his clock when it is just 1 second till the moment for Jesus to come. God made the sun stand still in Joshua's day, lengthening out the day to judge men. But now he's doing something greater to save men. He has stopped the his clock of the ages. Not a tick is heard. There is silence in heaven. Now we see why no man or angel knows when Jesus will come. We trace events up to the moment of his coming, but God's clock has stopped, and only God knows when it will start again. The next tick will be the shout of his coming. How long will it be? About the space of half an hour. Half an hour, a very short time. About the space of half an hour, an uncertain time. But what does this mean? Silence in heaven. What? No singing, no praising, but heaven's joy is suspended? What could be so impressive? What could be more solemn? Why? A moment has come when the redeemed of the Lord will all be united and brought home to heaven. A moment of supreme joy to Christ and to us. Again we ask, why? A moment has come when, like a flash of lightning, millions and millions shall in one tick be doomed forever. Apart from Calvary, never has there been nor will there be a tick of the clock that is so momentous. Let the silence of heaven solemnize every heart and cause everyone out of Christ to tremble. That silence is your last warning. People sleep in the train as it pounds down the rails, but when quiet in the depot, they awake. Neighbor, see that silence in heaven. Awake to your danger and take action. Your Savior tells you what to do. I quote his word to you right now. Strive to enter in at the straight gate, for many shall seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house has risen up and has shut to the door, neighbor, I beg you, take no time to sleep or eat. Stop everything. Repent of your sins and call on the Lord Jesus Christ to save you. Don't give up until you know you're saved and ready for Jesus to come, ready for the silence in heaven to break. If you do not break that silence by surrendering to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then in a moment, a twinkle of an eye, God will break the silence by a flash of blinding judgment that will seal your doom forever. Remember, there's an end to the patience and mercy of God, and that end may be today. I repeat, there is an end to the patience and mercy of God, and that end may be today. This is another message of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman.